modern life is full of hassles, deadlines, frustrations, and demands. For many people, stress is so common that it's just become a way of life. Stress isn't always bad. In small doses, it can help you perform under pressure and motivate you to do your best. But when you're constantly running in emergency mode, your mind and your body pay the price. You can protect yourself by recognizing the signs and symptoms of stress and taking steps to reduce its harmful effects. Go Healthy for Good is here to help you identify those symptoms and to show you practical ways to alleviate the problem. Stay with us. To Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Merida and I'm delighted that you've joined us for another exciting episode of our program. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also find us at Facebook, Twitter, and watch all of the previous episodes on our podcast. Just look for Go Healthy for Good on iTunes. If you have questions on health, call us at 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Our phone lines are open for your calls right now. Remember, we also have a number for text messages, and it's 301-960-5144. Send us your questions and comments. We love to hear from you. We're talking about stress today. It's important to learn how to recognize when your stress levels are out of control. The most dangerous thing about stress is how easily it can creep up on you. You just get used to it. It starts to feel familiar and even normal. You don't notice how much it's affecting you, even as it takes a heavy toll. The signs and symptoms of stress can be almost anything. It affects the mind, the body, our behavior, in so many ways. We all experience stress differently. Today, we're going to give you tools that will empower you to manage stress better. But first, let me introduce you to Scott and Julie Griswold. Wonderful, loving couple who've experienced extreme levels of stress. I know their story will inspire and help you. Let's watch.
The last few months have been really crazy. It's just going from a place where we've lived for 7 years in another country, in the country of Thailand, to moving back to the States where we haven't lived for 10 years and not yet having a job. That's not all worked out. That's up in the air. We're moving to a new school for our children. They're still waiting on their acceptance to that school. And then not knowing for sure where we're living over there. And school's starting in less than a month. Everything's been up in the air, and it's a total change for all of us. So yeah, I think if we could summarize one of the most stressful times in our lives, it's right now.
Yeah, life has been crazy. It seems like from one stressor to another. Ever since when I was 17 and I lost my mom to cancer, that was a very stressful time in my life, and that was the beginning of a roller coaster of many different things. A coup in Cambodia.
The whole city erupted with machine gun fire and tanks driving through, and we have two little ones and we're in the Adra house with them. And that was a very, very frightening time. It was a major one. Mm.
So we've had a few times of trying to cope and learning how to deal with stress.
And Julie has put up with me, I could be stressed enough, she's put up with me who likes to start new things. House church during seminary time instead of joining another church. New work in Cambodia, church planting from the start. And then in these last 10 years in Thailand, again, we started a church in our home. So that's not been easy. We have made it essential in our lives that ministry not destroy our family. We believe that God wants us to love Him first, love each other, and love our children. And that's part of the ministry in serving God. And then together, try to reach out and love other people. So it's difficult to balance that. you know, it's tough enough to balance work, but when you try to balance family and your relationship with God, then you've got even, you know, all the more that you're trying to be, do it right, trying to get it all together. And so life has always been a little challenging and exciting and stressful.
Joining me today is Dr. Natalie Eisen-Newton, a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist from Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, Dr. Natalie Eisen-Newton.
Thank you so much, Dr. Narita. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, tell us. I know we've all heard this, that stress can be analogous to, you know, being chased by a tiger and that fight or flight. But what's actually happening in our bodies at that point in time when we're really stressed acutely?
You're exactly right. The fight or flight response is, within our body, there's the sympathetic nervous system. And that's something that's activated when we're in a state of stress or arousal. And during that time, our heart rate goes up. We can start breathing more rapidly. We get a burst of energy. Some of the blood pools to our muscles in case we do have to run away from that tiger or whatever's coming near us. So a lot of things that happen, such as these, happen naturally with regards to the different areas of our bodies.
Now, that's all very well if we're running to catch the bus, and we need all of those things to happen, otherwise we feel a bit sick running.
Right.
But what if, say the situation of someone is going to, our colleague is going to be away from work for a month, and we are going to have to take up all their work plus our own workload. What's going to happen there? I think we've got a graphic for that too.
Well, this is a situation that comes up a lot for many of us. And so what happens initially, there's that panic, that feeling of, oh no, what's going on? What's going to happen? There's all this work that I have to take on. It's kind of that heightened state of arousal. But then as time goes on, we kind of meet the challenge. We start getting the work done. We're doing, say, overtime, doing our job and the other person's job that we're stepping in for. And we can go along that way for a little while. But then if you look at the curve here, after that alarm stage of panic, and then we get going and we get the work done into the resistance stage, after a while, unfortunately, we get to become exhausted. It really will take a toll. And you see the graph, it starts to go down in that area.
So if that person leaves and then they don't have a replacement, we can't sustain it long term. We actually crash and burn.
Exactly.
And what might we feel at that stage?
By the crash and burn stage, it's physically as well as mentally we will feel effects of it. So mentally, oftentimes feeling very tense, moody, depressed, anxious. That can happen after a prolonged period of time where there's just a heightened amount of stress. Physically, it's not uncommon for people to have headaches, nausea, upset stomach, diarrhea. Sometimes even just a lot of that stress can cause neck pain and back pain, insomnia, even appetite changes. There have also been studies, actually, that the immune system, it doesn't function as well when a person is at a heightened amount of stress continually. So really, it can affect the body physically and emotionally.
How might someone know? Those are very non-specific symptoms. How can they work out what's causing them?
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it's doing some detective work. What ends up happening, sometimes a person will present to the emergency room because they're so stressed and so anxious and they're having that heightened arousal I mentioned, where their heart's going fast and their blood pressure can be up and they're breathing fast. Sometimes even chest pain may even be present. And they go to the emergency room and they're not sure, are they having a heart attack or what's going on? And some tests are done, routine tests, to make sure that it's not anything else medical that's going on. And oftentimes it turns out that it's stress and anxiety that's causing those symptoms. So there is that detective work there to figure out, okay, is there something else going on, or is this the stress that's present in the person's life?
People can also be grinding their teeth, can't they? And so the dentist can sometimes be the one that diagnoses it.
Exactly. That happens sometimes in the person's sleep. They don't even realize. But that stress that's constant during the day, it manifests even at nighttime.
And then irritable bowel syndrome. I'm thinking, you know, you were mentioning the nausea and the diarrhea, that you get labeled irritable bowel syndrome, but really what's underneath it can be the stress, can't it?
Exactly. And there have also been studies that stress can worsen or contribute to other things like acne, psoriasis, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma. The list just goes on and on. It can even affect fertility, peptic ulcer disease, gastroesophageal reflux disease. People would be amazed at how many things stress can contribute to and worsen if they're already present.
My, that's a very broad list.
It really is, and the list goes on, actually. Yeah.
Now, some people are kind of set up for a poor stress response by their personality.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about personality. I think we've got a graphic on this, but tell us about the different personality types.
You're quite right there. So there's type A, type B personalities. People talk about it here and there. But it's kind of that innate temperament that a person can have that either makes them predispositioned to react in a certain way or not. For instance, if you look at the visuals that there are, the different characteristics of type A might be very go-getter, on top of things, really can be very anxious. Things need to be very organized and precise. Type B may be a little bit more laid back, a little bit more calm, a little more relaxed. Some of those things, you know, in personality, as well as how they speak and respond to things, can really influence the way that they react to the stress in their life. So you could have two people with very similar stressors that present, and based on their personalities, they can react very differently.
So a type A would be more susceptible to stress. Are they therefore more likely to have the more serious diseases that can result from all these things that we're talking about?
It certainly can, unfortunately. That can be the case, because they are more likely to have that chronic elevated stage of stress. So the thing is, as you mentioned earlier, we all have a certain amount of stress, but when it gets to be prolonged frequency, the duration, the severity, when it's chronic like that, then that's when you see those medical problems start to arise.
Now, they ultimately, because with the sympathetic nervous system always being charged, mm-hmm. the blood vessels are constricted, aren't they? And we've talked about heart disease on some previous programs.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are more at risk of heart attacks,
mm-hmm. exactly.
strokes, any other...
Coronary artery disease, even pulmonary embolisms some studies have shown that stress can contribute to that. Arrhythmias, irregular heartbeat. And, you know, so it's really a long list of things. It's something that's just so important. And so many of us, like the family that we saw in the segment, go through these stresses on an everyday basis. You know, sometimes it's hard to even avoid these stressors, but it's so important to know how to manage them.
Now, you mentioned the immune system being affected.
Yeah.
That's pretty fundamental to good health.
Mm-hmm.
How would you know? What might happen if your immune system is impaired for a period of time?
So, good question. Sometimes people will present and they're finding they're frequently having colds, frequently getting the flu, just always feeling very run down and fatigued and really not knowing why and you know, being able to say, you know, I'm eating healthy and I'm trying to exercise, but I just don't have that energy or that motivation, or I'm just getting sick quite frequently. A lot of times with getting a history from them, you find out, whoa, they've been under a lot of stress for a long time.
Right. And then we also see studies where high stress, high cancer rates.
Yes.
So it can be that serious, can't it? From mm-hmm. the coughs and colds right through.
It certainly can.
Well, I'm sure the program today is relevant to all of us. Stress is a common problem for humankind. Next, we're going to give you tips, practical advice on how to manage and alleviate stress. You really don't want to miss it, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Recently, I read through the story of the great revival of interest in the second coming of Jesus, as people studied the prophecies for themselves. And I came across these words. Those who studied the Bible for themselves could not but see the unscriptural character of the popular views of prophecy. Wherever they would search the Word of God for themselves, the Advent doctrine needed only to be compared with the Scriptures to establish its divine authority. I was reminded of the Reformers' love for Scripture. And I was reminded of the importance of studying the Bible for myself to learn the story of the great hope that Jesus offers.
Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Natalie Eisen-Newton, psychiatrist, and we're discussing the subject of stress. Natalie, I remember working in a factory one time when I was a student. It was my summer job. I was so bored. Is it possible that we need a little bit of stress in our lives?
Yes, it definitely is. There's actually two people that came up with what's called Yerkes and Dodson Law. And what it is, it's we actually have a graph, I believe, where there's an optimum point where a certain amount of pressure and stress can yield the best performance. So if you're at a point in your work where you're not getting a lot of pressure or a lot of stress or a lot of expectations, you just don't do as well. But then on the other hand, if you're really going, it's on the other end of the spectrum where it's just too much, so stressed out, then the person's performance can also go down. So there's definitely a peak place where performance and amount of stress can be optimum.
Now, I think about road rage. You know, we can all be sitting in this awful traffic jam that only we can get around here. And some people just go nuts.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are just kind of sitting there trying to while the time away. Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
So part of that goes back to what we talked about, personality, and a little bit about their temperament and their resilience and what their stores are, so to speak, in terms of being able to cope with the stress and manage it.
Can we have that graphic back?
So if you have, say, two people, and one person may be weak, a little weak in terms of their stores of coping skills. As you look at the graphic, you have the woman on the left who has a very big, heavy load to bear. So she's weak in the sense that the muscles aren't there, but she has all that stress on her. And then on the right, you have the man he's stronger, but he still has the few stressors that he has, he's still having difficulty because he doesn't have the coping mechanisms there in order to help him. So there's a combination of what it takes to manage the stress, having the coping skills to get through it, and then also having that resiliency. We talked about the personality as well.
So the road rager may just have so much on their plate. They could cope with that small load, mm-hmm. but there's too much on their plate. Or they just don't have those emotional coping skills. They don't have a lot on their plate, but it's still too much for them.
Exactly.
So how do we correct that?
So first thing, I think it's important to identify what are the stressors in our life. For us to take an inventory of different areas, our health, our finances, family, work, and identify what's going on and what's causing the stress. And then to think about, okay, how to manage it. So I like to think of it in terms of ways to try and avoid stress altogether and decrease the likelihood of it presenting, and then ways with the stress that we do have, given, you know, in our everyday lives things present, how to minimize it. So in thinking, for instance, about ways to try to avoid or decrease the likelihood of stress, we can do things like take good care of ourselves, you know, exercise, eat healthy.
These are ways that we can actually strengthen ourselves.
So exactly.
I think we've got a graphic there of strong to weak. And so,
right.
So you're saying exercise, look after ourselves.
Eat healthy. These are ways to build that strength, those coping skills, in order to work with the stressors that present in our lives. So that's very important. Also is to create a schedule. For instance, a lot of times in our lives, the chaos, the unpredictability, by creating schedules, that very much can decrease the amount of stress that we experience on a day-to-day basis. Other things we can do?
So by creating mm-hmm. a schedule, we're prioritizing mm-hmm. and organizing our time,
yes.
so to speak. So with time management,
yes.
we can get more done. We can get the same things done in less time.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly. It's so key. Sometimes we skip over it, but it just can really do a lot to minimize the stress that we are experiencing. Other things would be to reach out to our support system, our family, our friends. Let them know if we need help, if we have concerns or different needs that are not being met. That's one way to very much manage some of the stress, kind of diffuse a little bit the stress that's going on. Other things would be to think about the way that we cope with the stress that we have. So, for instance, one could be very stressed out and turn to eating sweets and junk food, and then that just goes into more stress about gaining weight and medical problems.
And the sugar makes us more irritable,
yes,
and more fly off the handle. We're less able to cope. So we actually weaken ourselves by doing that.
Exactly. So we want to be able to break that cycle and do healthy, adaptive things that will help us to cope. So we always think, well, what are some healthy, adaptive things to cope? So having coping skills, such as having a toolbox of things that we can do when we're feeling so stressed out, like reading a book or gardening or talking to a friend, things that we enjoy doing that we can turn to in those moments when we're really stressed out, just to kind of relax us a little bit, and they're positive things that can be really helpful.
And if we're in the office, mm-hmm, it's actually really healthy to just take a 5-minute break every hour, isn't it?
And yes.
Run up and down the stairs. That's going to really revive you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There are lots of little things that we can do in our day.
What does exercise do when we've got, because stress is all about hormones, isn't it? There's like many, many stress hormones, 20
yes,
or more.
Yes.
They're all raging.
Yes.
What does exercise do to them?
So exercise, if you think about it, it kind of pulls it in check so that they're not, those hormones, cortisol, all those things are not all over the place. And then it allows things like endorphins to increase that can be calming, help us to feel better, more relaxed. So it really lowers the ones that get us to that heightened alert stage and then increases the ones that can be very much calming for us.
We're going to come right back to that. But the Griswolds now are here to share the second part of their powerful story with us. Let's watch it.
I could not survive without God's word. You know, he stands back of every promise he made. And so I find myself, if it's with the stress with my kids, the stress with job, anytime, you know, the enemy will try to plague me with something, I go to God's word. And that has gotten me through many, many stressful times. In Cambodia, when we were during the fighting, we were just coming back into the country where it had been demolished, and there was no hospitals, and I was pregnant with my first child, and that enough was a stressor in this kind of a situation. And I remember when some of the fighting was really close, I wanted to leave. I knew I was not doing God any favors by coming here as a Christian and letting him see a Christian just be freaked out, and I had a hard time trusting. And so Scott said, well, before we pack our bags, I'd like you to try something. And he said, for 2 weeks, claim God's promise every time you start getting afraid or feel like we have to leave and you can't cope any longer. And I said, okay, I'll do it, but I'm sure it's not going to do any good, so you better get ready and pack your bags, because I don't think it's going to make any difference for me. But I did it, and nothing happened, nothing changed until like day 13. I realized I wasn't on my knees constantly. I was getting more done, you know, around the house and out in ministry, because I was not having to fight so hard with God's word. And by the 13th day, I knew that God had done a miracle for me. And there's nothing had changed. The country was still in huge upheaval. But God had calmed my heart and through his word. And we stayed, praise God, we stayed another 5 years in that country where I didn't think I could last the week.
Another thing that I think really helps her is that she's good at crying. You know, she cries a lot, and there's plenty of things, you know, to cry about. But even though she may not enjoy that, it means the emotions are expressed. The yeah, feelings are there. We talk about things. We don't just stuff them.
Mm-hmm.
They come out. And I think that's really important and healthy.
Yeah.
I think it's important that it be done in God's presence and with hope and courage, mm-hmm, because otherwise you're just dumping on each other. But if you are doing it where your agreement is, you know, we take it to the Lord. We're praying together. We pray.
Mm-hmm.
We pray together every night before we go to sleep. We pray in the middle of the day, after lunch, as a family. We pull together for a little bit. And so things are in God's presence, but you've got to feel, you've got to, mm-hmm, express what you're going through. David did that in the Psalms. He gave us a good example in the Bible, really letting God know how you're feeling. And that's important.
I love how Julie talks about fighting or taking the flight home. This real fight or flight story. Yeah. But, you know, she, and so her circumstances did not change. The Civil War was still going on around her. But she found a strength that could help her go through.
Right.
Now, if we take a real life situation like that, we probably have several choices of how to view that situation. Really what she was describing was all about attitude, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. She could say, poor me, or she could become fearful and anxious, which is where she was at. Mm-hmm. Or we can take, for example, if we lose a job, we can say, oh, I'm just going to go get another one. I can get a better one. Mm-hmm. How do we create those attitudinal changes?
Mm-hmm. So what we know is that our thoughts very much impact our feelings and our behaviors. 100%. So the first thing is to acknowledge, what are we thinking? So many times situations come up, like a lost job or, you know, a difficult situation, where we can get into this negative thinking, a cycle of, oh, nothing will ever work out. This will never get better. Things, you know, never go as they should. So that's like you said, that's one way a person can think about it. And the other way would be to cut that cycle of negative thinking and replace that with positive, more adaptive, appropriate thoughts that would help, because we know that the thoughts, the feelings, and behaviors are so much connected. So it's really important for us to live in the present and not to worry about what may or may not happen in the future, or to ruminate and perseverate and just be so, you know, go over and over in our minds about what happened in the past, but to really just let go. And when a person's able to do that, it very much diminishes the amount of stress that they go through in a situation.
It's true. They say that animals don't look ahead. We're the ones that look ahead. Mm-hmm. But having that wonderful ability gives us this ability to also worry.
Right.
So I like the way you say, live in the present. Mm-hmm. And look at what's happening around you and say, well, I'm okay today, I'm still alive.
Exactly.
And make the best. What did you think about Scott saying that Julie cried a lot? Is that really a good mechanism to cope?
You know, I'm glad that you asked me that. I think it's a fabulous mechanism to cope, because so many times people just hold in their emotions. Mm-hmm. And if you think of a bottle and you just have that bottle and you fill it up, and, you know, problems, despair, stress, over time, what's going to happen? It's going to explode. It's not a matter of if, but really when will it explode?
And how?
Exactly. And that's how it is for us. If we don't, you know, talk to someone, it's okay. Realize that it's okay to cry. It's okay to be upset, to be angry, to laugh. You know, we talk about how wonderful and important laughter is. So to express those feelings and to really get them out is so beneficial for our overall health. And it decreases our stress.
So that goes for the men as well as the ladies.
It sure does.
We're all now allowed to cry. Dr. Isa Newton has given us permission. Well, thank you. In a few minutes, we're going to join Justin in the kitchen. And, of course, Sean, our exercise specialist, will be sharing some new moves that you don't want to miss. All of that coming next. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. Headlines today: texting in bed, bad for mood, better sugars in a happy home, widowhood with well-being, and grin and bear it. A large Japanese study has been done to assess the relationship between mobile phone use and mental health in adolescents. Mobile phone use after light out may be associated with poor mental health, suicidal feelings, and self-injury in adolescents. Early adolescents had reduced sleep with mobile phone use. So parents, put mobile phones to bed before you put your teens to bed. A sample of 200 youth with type 1 diabetes completed a diabetes stress questionnaire, and their long-term measure of metabolic control was checked. Three groups were compared: low stress, interpersonal or peer stress, and those with family stress. Only those experiencing family stress had significantly poorer long-term diabetes control. So make home a happy place. It's good for everyone. A study of more than 300 people who were recently widowed was done to see whether physical health at the time of widowhood modified psychological well-being over the next year and a half. Those with poor health at the time of widowhood had more complicated grief and major depression. Two lessons become apparent. Those putting their own health at risk while caring for their dying spouse actually place themselves at a disadvantage for grief and loss recovery. And bereavement support should include a focus on self-care as well as emotional support. A study was performed to see if it's true that positive facial expressions influence responses to stress. 170 people were given two stressful tasks. One group had to hold chopsticks in their mouths, which made them look like they were smiling. Another group was asked to smile, and a third group received no instructions about smiling. Findings revealed that all smiling participants had lower heart rates during stress recovery than the neutral group. There was even a slight advantage for those with chopstick smiles. So instead of frowning, put on a smile, and if that's too hard, grab a chopstick. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's medical news report.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Welcome back. We're in the kitchen, and I know this is exciting to many of our viewers, and I'm still trying to figure out if it's because our recipes are so good or if the Bachelor Cook is attracting all the female viewers to this kitchen. I'll never know unless you tell me on Facebook. But the truth is we're ready for another recipe. So, Justin, what have we got today?
Well, I guess you're going to be cooking some baked oatmeal for us.
Now, why don't you read the ingredients?
Well, I would love to because I've actually never had this. I'd kind of like to know what's in it.
Oh, you've been missing out, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you have.
So baked oatmeal is 3 cups of rolled oats, 3/4 cups of coconut, unsweetened coconut. 3/4 cup of chopped dates, 3/4 tablespoon of sea salt, and 2 tablespoons of oil. You can also put in a teaspoon of vanilla and 5 cups of soy milk if you'd like.
All right. Great. Well, I'm a really lazy cook, so I use my baking dish as my bowl.
Oh, okay.
So I just spray it with whatever I spray it with.
Okay.
Do you want to do the honors?
Oh, please. Could I?
Yeah.
Just like that, huh?
Perfect, perfect. Alrighty. So then I just go ahead and I put the biggest ingredient in first. So in goes the quick oats.
Quick oats
for in there. And then because coconut's naturally sweet, we actually don't need a lot of sweetener. But the thing we love best, yes. You and I, we both love our coconut.
Yes, yes, in all of its forms.
Yes. And some dates for sweetening. So there's no sugar in this.
I could use some dates.
Now I'm going to give you the hard job. I usually cut my dates. How do you cut your dates up?
With my teeth.
With your teeth?
I insert them whole and do the cutting in my mouth.
I guess that's how bachelors do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that really hard job of somehow getting that all split up. Something the way like I do my dates, I just get a pair of scissors, and it's really easy,
clever.
And you don't have to haul away with that knife on the chopping board. And it doesn't do this. usually either, because it kind of seals up the moist bits in the middle.
Really?
All right. And then
We'll pretend that's all nicely incorporated.
We could use our fingers, but it would get awfully messy. And then all we do is we pour in the soy milk. And sometimes I even cheat and I just use soy milk powder and then pour the water.
Oh, really?
And it makes it even cheaper to
make.
So now
the recipe said that was optional.
No, the oil is optional. Yeah, I don't use the oil. I just put it in like that. Yeah, so then we need a little bit of salt. Because oats, I find, always need a little salt.
Yeah. Now, what's this?
And some vanilla essence.
Gotcha.
The real thing.
None of this imitation stuff.
No. Now, that looks awfully wet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you know how when you make oatmeal, you use about 1 cup of quick oats to 3 cups of water or milk? Yeah, so this is similar. So it always looks a little bit soggy and wet, but it doesn't come out like that.
We're going to stick that in the oven eventually?
We will. We will. So that looks a bit like a swimming pool at this stage. But
delicious swimming pool.
A very delicious swimming pool. But by the time it's baked, it's just firmed up beautifully. But even at this stage, you can put in... Just throw those slivered almonds. Mm. See how they just float on top?
That's what you want, right?
Yeah, and that gives it a beautiful crunch at the end.
Mm-mm. Yum.
And they just stay on the top.
Okay.
But they don't burn because it's quite wet. You just pop that in the oven. Now that's a 1/3 of a quantity. So in fact, when I make a full, I make it about that thick, but
okay.
I use a square dish and it just goes into the oven like that. And if it starts to burn on top, you can just cover it, pop a lid on, and it comes out just like this.
Very nice. It comes out with the pineapples
with the pineapple.
In place.
No,
that's
the bit that you'd have
flourish.
Yeah, that's the bit you'd have to work on. So are you ready?
Let's try this. I've never had this before.
It's really nice with yogurt.
Oh.
And what I really like is that what you don't eat, you put in the fridge, and then the next day I slice it up and put it in the non-stick fry pan or on the griddle. And the dates
fried,
all go crunchy.
Fried, baked.
Fried, baked, don't reel. And the dates go crunchy and it's just to die for.
Mmm, that's good.
Mmm. It's very good,
that's
isn't
really
it?
That's really tasty.
Mmm.
Yeah. And it's just chock full of fiber, huh?
Mmm. It is, actually. The more oats you eat, the lower your blood pressure. For those of you who have high blood pressure. And if you do have cholesterol issues, you can throw a bit of oat bran in. That will help bring the cholesterol down. So it's a really good breakfast to have.
I like that a lot.
Mm.
It's not overly sweet.
No, but it's sweet, isn't
it? It's sweet, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that a lot. It's delicious.
Great. Well, I hope you enjoy that recipe. And Sean is ready and waiting. In just a moment, we'll take a look at some really good exercise moves that you can do right there in your home, so get ready. But first, here's another Ageless Advantage spot.
Could a handful of walnuts prevent a heart attack? Maybe. The Physicians Healthy Study in 2002 found that men who consume nuts at least twice a week had a 47% lower chance of having a fatal heart attack compared to men who rarely ate nuts. The men who enjoyed walnuts, almonds, pistachios, and other nuts had much better odds of preventing a heart attack. So regular handfuls of nuts could prevent a heart attack. Regularly consuming heart-healthy nuts is another Ageless Advantage.
Welcome back. Hey, Sean, what have you got?
All right, so today I have two exercises. Well, we're not going to go to the chair yet. Okay.
Because you just got out of your chair. We don't want you to get back in it.
So we're going to start with a marching plank. But before, like we did last time, we want to be able to warm up the body. So let's start with just walking in place. All right, great way to just get the heart rate moving a little bit. Prepare the body for movement, right?
All right.
And then we're going to do Frankenstein walks. If we were in a driveway, I know this sounds a little... All right, we're just going to reach here. Keep your leg nice and straight.
Oh.
Chest up.
Here I go.
Get a little bit of balance. Don't drop the leg down, though, all right? Chest up. There you go. Stretching out your hamstring a little bit.
Sure
I'm
is.
I'm going to tell you why when we start the first exercise, all right? Again, keeping the leg straight. Stretching out your glutes and your hamstring. okay? And shake it out a little bit. All right, you just want to get warmed up, again, preparing you for exercise. We're going to do a marching plank, right? But we're going to also work the obliques, all right? So I want you to get down in a push-up plank position.
All righty.
All right.
Down we go, folks.
There you go. All right. So what we're going to do is work the glute and the core at the same time, all right? So what I want you to do in this position up here.
Oh.
Yeah. So come all the way up.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is just go up and down. Bring each leg up and down. Yep. So just from this position alone, she's working the core. Bring the hips down just a little bit more. The core and the glutes, all right? But what I want you to do is when you pick up that side, this right side, I want you to bring it to the side here. Yes. All right. So now if you can see on this side.
Well, you want me to turn around?
Yeah, you go turn to the side. So you're not only working the glute, the core, but you're working to your obliques as well. All right. So pick it up first. And then up. Yeah, there you go.
And then down.
Yep. Up and then in. And perfect. There you go. Do the other side again. So again, working the core, the entire core, working the glute. At the same time, working the love handles, the obliques, the questions we get on Facebook, all right? How to get rid of those areas,
keep
right?
sending those questions.
There you go. All right, so cool. That's a marching plank, working the oblique. All right. So let's go to the chair, all right? Everyone has a chair. So I figured, let's do a very simple exercise. It's a dip, all right? Working the back of the arms.
All right.
So chest up, and we're going to keep our back close to the chair, all right?
I'm going to turn sideways.
I love it. Perfect. All right. Now, the option is you can keep your legs bent, all right, or you can have them straight, depending on you and your fitness level.
Okay.
Right?
Shall I keep them bent?
You stay bent, I'll stay straight.
All right.
We're going to do 8 reps.
All right.
Going all the way down in 3, 2, 1, go. 1, 2, 3. Bring the chest all the way down. Arm all the way down. 5, 6. You keep me count. 7. And last one, 8.
8.
All right. Where you going to feel that? Stay right in that position. Right here on the back of the arm, all right? The triceps are working from beginning to end. Now, the key here is keep your back close to the chair, all right? So you get a deep contraction in the tricep every time, all right? So again, one more time. Perfect. And to make that even a little bit harder, you could pick this leg up. There you go. Perfect. Dr. Narada is strong, so. All right, but the third one, don't even say that. So the third one, I saved this just for her. Squat jumps.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Because we're in trouble now, folks.
Yes.
Now, don't leave me.
So we're going to work the quads, all right? She's going to come down and pop up. Great cardiovascular exercise. Coming down. Now, depending on your fitness level, you don't want to come down hard. So you want to land in a squat position, all right? There you go. Land in that squat position. Perfect. Give me 2 more. Give me 2 more after that.
Oh,
give me 2 more after that.
He's fooling us.
There it is. So that's a squat jump, all right? Great way to work the power of the leg, work the quads. It's great cardiovascular exercise as well.
It's fun, actually.
Plus the heart rate goes up, and that's what you want to burn some fat, right? So now the heart rate's up, you want to cool down, all right? Take a nice deep breath, put the hands to the side.
Now that's an easy one that you can even do in your office.
Absolutely.
You know when you get, really stressed and you just need something?
That's actually a good point.
That's going to be a really quick way just to boost your heart rate.
Absolutely. So you do that in your office?
So almost. This is a
big circle. And what I want you to do is, again, shake it out again. Okay? And we're going to go right down to the middle. Stretching out the hamstrings.
So legs straight, yeah?
Yep. And then go to the right-hand side where your chest comes down towards your knee. All right? And hands wrapped around your ankle. All right? And then switch sides. Perfect. And then come back to the middle, and then back up, okay? Great way to stretch it out a little bit.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
How do you feel?
That feels good.
Want to do some more squat jumps?
Do we want to do more squat jumps? No, we already stretched. Well, maybe.
No, don't try to make excuses now. So again, another cool down, a perfect cool down, and I wanted to show this before, is just raising the knee to the chest.
Okay.
Here. Working the balance a little bit. There you go. Bring it all the way up, stretching out the glute. Remember, you just worked that glute on the beginning exercise, and you would do that exercise for maybe 30 seconds, or you could do it per rep where each time you lift the leg is a repetition. So you want to be able to kind of keep it and work and feel that glute working. At the same time, this cool down will help stretch out the muscle, break down the lactic acid.
And our viewers could do those three exercises
absolutely
as a circuit three times,
absolutely,
couldn't they?
So you and do then... you do 30 seconds or 60 seconds, or again by reps. You know, you stick with 15 reps. But if you can stick with the 30 seconds, it's a great workout.
Yeah. Mm. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
See you next time.
See you Wednesday.
Thank you for posting your comments and your questions on our Facebook page. Don't forget that you can call us live. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY, 855-400-4325. Today we have a very special offer for our callers. If you call us now, right now, during our live broadcast and share out your questions on stress, we will send you a copy of Celebrations. It is a beautiful pictorial celebration of life, health and vitality. It's packed into a coffee table quality book that's going to inspire you to better living. And it's free. Remember, it applies to the viewers on our live show. So go grab your phone. What are you waiting for? You're just waiting for the book? Call us. We'll send you a copy. Celebrations. The first five callers will get a book tonight. We're going to take a quick break now. Go Healthy for Good is going to be right back.
As I was reading The Great Hope, I came across this passage that was inspiring to me. It says, in the Bible, the sacred and enduring character of the relationship that exists between Christ and His church is represented by the union of marriage. The Lord has joined His people to Himself by a solemn covenant, He promising to be their God, and they pledging themselves to be His and His alone. This brings me hope because as I view my relationship with Christ, and if I choose to view it as He does in a marriage, there is a certain level of commitment. There's a covenant there. And the fact that He chooses to view that covenant so strongly is a promise to me that I have the chance for eternal salvation. It's humbling. It's a blessing.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions, especially those that are on stress. You can call us right now. We've got this beautiful free book waiting for you. It's called Celebrations, and it is absolutely stunning. It's also, I told you about the pictures, it's also full of scientific information. Now, the number to call is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And just before the break, I shared with you that today I have this gift, so go to your phones and call me. No strings attached, well, just one, just the phone. And call us now. And before we go further, though, I want you to see the next segment of the Griswold story. This, watch carefully, they model some lovely examples of stress management.
With our kids and the stress, they see it. It's around. They're part of what's going on in their church plant. They see that things are going on, but we may not try to talk about too much of stuff right in front of them. A lot of times they'll pick up on it. And we talk about how to deal with it. They see us dealing with it. We have worship times together. We help them when they're upset, whatever, take it to God. Try to get them to talk positively or think about those things. We will play Frisbee, Ultimate Frisbee together. We used to play tag a lot more.
Tree tag.
Other games with the kids. Go swimming. We had a pond near our house, so we'd jump in there. And just having time to play together as a family is important. We work hard. We do ministry together. But
and a good stress reliever. Well. Exercise and having fun is a good stress reliever. Another thing that I have found, I have a book and I brought it to show you. And every day I write three evidences of God's love for me in that day. And I will just look over the day and I'll just think of three things that God has done evidently for me in that day.
We have another book, it's called Our Ebenezer Book, and it's a black scrapbook that sometimes on a Sabbath afternoon we'll get the kids together and we'll draw pictures or gather photographs and write up a story of something God has specially done. And then when we want to, we can open that book and remember what God's done for us before, and that helps us. You have to choose what you focus on, because there's always something to worry about. There's always something going wrong. There's always problems somewhere. If it's not for yourself, then it's for your family member. But if it's not your family, then it's work or different situations. And so if you're focused, if you stay thinking about those things, that's a problem. But knowing that we have put God first, both of us are doing that, that family comes next, and both of us are committed to raising our kids well for God, then when the other stresses come too, they have their place.
I love how Julie and Scott keep their family tight. They model stress management, and they work and play and deal with stress that way. It's really beautiful to watch.
It's a great example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a text message question for you.
Okay.
If I'm really stressed, what type of food and what nutrients should I look for?
Good question. This is a very good question. So first, let me start by saying what to avoid. We touched briefly on it before. So you want to avoid things that are high-fat foods, things that are high in sugar as well, very heavy foods. You want to avoid some of those kinds of things that are really not going to promote. We talked about some of those hormones, the good hormones and the bad hormones during stress time. You don't want to take anything that's going to promote the bad hormones that are going to keep you in a stressed state. So other things like caffeine, for instance. Whether it be from sodas or coffee or those kinds of things, that's what you would like to, you should avoid. Now, things to take to try and reduce stress would be drink lots of water. You want to make sure to stay very well hydrated. It's just good for your overall body and your well-being. Other things would be fruits and vegetables, things like that are going to be good for your nervous system and your whole body.
Great. Like that. Another text question. My husband has been recently diagnosed with a terminal illness. How can I help his stress level and mine as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about the diagnosis. But, you know, first of all, it's important to recognize that in that situation, any and everyone would feel stressed. It affects the individual, it affects the family, so it's important to, as we talked about, to talk about the feelings that are surrounded by that and not to just bottle it up and hold it in, but to discuss that and process those things. And it's okay to have feelings about the diagnosis. Other things I would suggest are to use the coping skills. Kind of, as I mentioned, thinking about it as a toolbox of things that you can kind of reach into when you're feeling most stressed, when you're feeling most on edge. So perhaps the two of you reading together or going for a walk, getting fresh air, just talking or playing a game, having fun. In the segment that we listened to on the family, they would go outside and they would play and kind of whether it's, you know, something indoors or outdoors if it's possible, but really establishing things that the two of you enjoy doing and being able to do those things together within the limits of the medical condition. So those are really important. Other things just can include deep breathing. So often when we're really stressed, there's the tendency to have quick, shallow breaths. But rather, it's important to have deep breathing. It's one of those things, for instance, if you put your hand on your stomach and you take a deep breath in through your nose, your stomach should rise and then exhale through your mouth. Now, most people would say, I know how to breathe. I've been breathing my whole life, right?
Yeah, they would.
But the average person, when they're feeling stressed, they're not taking those deep breaths that are so important and so helpful to decreasing that stress.
Yeah, we tend to breathe off the top of our lungs.
Exactly.
And then all of this is just waste space that just...
Right. So that's something that you can do. You're sitting in a chair. You're in a hospital room. Anywhere you are, you can do those deep breathing exercises.
Right. Now we've got a caller on the line. Brenda, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question for us tonight?
Okay. What would be the number one thing to release stress on a daily basis?
Dr. Isa Newton, daily basis stress.
Well, thank you for your question, Brenda. It's a very good question. I would have to say that there's more than one thing. There's the coping skills that we talked about, having things that you can turn to help you to relieve that stress, the things that you can enjoy, because it provides somewhat of a distraction from constantly being focused on that stressor. And then there's also the techniques to try and relax your body, relax yourself. So in addition to the deep breathing we talked about, there are things like yoga, aromatherapy, massage, progressive muscle relaxation, those kinds of things that physically will address the tension that we can hold in our bodies when we're stressed. And then the third thing would be, as we talked about, the thoughts. Really catching those negative thoughts, catching those worries, dwelling on the past, those kinds of things, and really trying to replace them with more uplifting, positive statements to try and help those thoughts that then lead to behaviors and other feelings.
So those are the top three. Summarize those for us again.
So using the coping skills.
Yes.
And for each person, it'll be different. Also using the relaxation technique.
And maybe meditation, too.
Exactly. And then finally, using what we talked about was the coping skills, the relaxation techniques, and then the thought patterns. Trying
That's
to really
right.
key in on your
the
thoughts.
Positive thinking.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much. Our hour has sped by, and we've run out of time, and our lives are so full of so much. We struggle to maintain balance between body, mind, and soul. Like Scott and Julie, it's important to prioritize. What are the things that are important in your life? Then ask yourself, what are my stresses? Factor in your emotional and your physical strength, and then ask, how can I eliminate some of those stressors and manage the rest of those stresses a little better? Build into your schedule time for meditation, time for exercise, time for fun, and be sure to drink plenty of water, eat regular healthy meals that will feed and hydrate the brain, rather than just stimulating the brain with caffeine. Join us tomorrow. We are going to be discussing bullying. It's a serious issue. We'll be sharing strategies to make school and work a safer and happier place. Thanks for joining me. Let's go healthy for good together, and I'll see you next time.